Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Laura, for again leading us, and good to see you back from vacation, and Larry too, and everything. And it is good to be home, though I understand that we're going to really settle in for another humid spell for the next few days, and that ain't good at all. Did you notice how Griselle might be almost going past her mom? That's a summary. You'll be looking up to her, Deanna, and the girls have really grown a lot through the summer, and that good Mexican food, I'm sure, was a help there. So this is very good. Well, let's go back. I want to go to Matthew chapter 7 just for a moment. And so today we are going to talk about the long view. And for our guests, when we've been talking about the long view, it's the fact that God himself, like a great parent who's been around a lot longer than we have been and who knows a lot more than we do, he sees all of life. He sees all of eternity. And therefore, he wants us to enter into his thoughts and how he sees life from the beginning to the end, in the same way that we as parents with our children want them to understand that they may be looking at the moment, and sometimes they don't understand what's going on, and they can get frustrated and everything, but we see the big picture, don't we? And sometimes we need to relate that to our children. No, I'm not trying to ruin your fun in the moment by telling you to go to bed at 7:30 I'm trying to help you to be healthy, because we all know that if you don't get your rest, you're going to be a bear in the morning and for the rest of tomorrow. And so we look at the long view, and our kids may be frustrated and they don't understand, and because we really care for them, we try to look out for them with our parental mind. Now, what today, the issue here in Matthew 7, if you go down to verse 7, here's a little section on prayer, and I just want to bring this out. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he says in verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. All I want to draw from that is this, that God takes a human relationship, a parent and child, and he relates it to how he, the one referred to by Jesus in the Lord's Prayer as our Father who art in heaven, relates to his children. And so those of us who have had children or who are now grandchildren, there's many dynamics in prayer that we understand already. And I think sometimes we get overwhelmed because it seems so complicated, and I'm not sure that that's God's way of looking at everything. God wants us to catch how simple it is. Prayer is conversation with God. And of course, as parents, we understand the dependency of our child upon us. We also understand that we, as the parent, because we love them, have the highest aspirations for them. Even when they say, well, you're just trying to ruin my day.
But we have the highest aspirations. And we work at helping our children to see it from our point of view. We're trying to protect you. We're trying to provide for you. We're looking out for you in the long term. And we want our children to enter into our mindset. But the unfortunate thing is that most of us are not just childlike, but we've had those instances in our youth and even today when we are childish. And there is a difference. But prayer has to do with being childlike and having that dependency. And one of the purposes of parenting is to help our kids enter into that long view. I was thinking of this, that how often, because we just spent a week with week before last, and we got a rest this week with our grandsons in London, 1-3 and 1-1.5, and there were sometimes they came to us and said, like, Granny or Papa, and they repeated it 4 times, and Now, what are you saying? and they're trying to put it together because they're a little bit frustrated and we can't understand what they're saying. And gradually you get a little bit of an inkling and then you're able to help them sort out their emotions. All of our kids are very good at saying this. Use words. Use words. Okay? Instead of getting all emotionally frustrated. And when we quoted Romans 8 in our prayer time, that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, the issue is that He understands our human emotions. He understands when we're just so frustrated we can't seem to put it in words, we don't even know what to pray for as we ought, because we're childlike. But He is the one who can take our muddled up language and trying to sort out, what am I to do here? And He can put it in words that God our Father understands. And so all this stuff is like Heavenly Father, the believer, earthly parents, children. And God relates these things from our experience to what it ought to be like to talk to Him. And so I want us not to be overwhelmed, but understand that we're on a journey here, that we need to think about how I think about my children. And I want them to see the long view for their benefit. And so God wants us to do this as well. So when conversing with God today, I just want to talk about a little bit about the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but I do want to take an overview of what our mindset should be like in approaching prayer. And I'm going to say it this way. First of all, prayer demands that we take a long view at God. And so when Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven," that indicates that Jesus had a knowledge of the one He was talking to. And so when it comes to prayer, the God who is not one that we just dream up. And our Father in heaven isn't just a matter of defining the God who exists as God as I understand Him. Because many could define God as I understand Him, and then many people, what they'll do is say, well, I like the love part of His character, and I like the fact that He forgives, and I want to choose His graciousness too, and, oh, I really love His patience. But this matter of justice and the matter of God holding us accountable and the matter of God doing judgment, I don't like this. And so I'm going to reject that part of God, but I want this. And do you see what we're doing? We are taking upon ourselves the responsibility of creating a God who is convenient to me. And so it's more about me than it is about our Father who art in heaven. And so taking a long view at God means that God exists and he is a person who defines himself by certain character traits. And he has a will, and he has a plan, and he has a purpose. And so for me to be able to talk to him means that I can't pick and choose what I like or don't like about God. Rather, as Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven," I need to take a long view at that God in order to appreciate what he's like and what my attitude needs to be when I talk to him. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so when you take a long view at God, in the Bible we refer to the word revelation. And that means that God has made himself known to us. We're not trying to dream him up or try to believe that we can just bring into existence some type of God that suits me. No, no. The God who exists has made himself known. And so I need to know what kind of a person he is, and the whole character of God is a package. You can't pick out what you think are the good things and leave out the things that you may not like. That's what we used to do when we were 16 years of age and we had to have a discussion with our parents. We liked their provision of food and clothes and everything. We did not like the fact that they said you can't have the car keys or you can't be home. You must be home at a certain time at night. There were certain sides of our parents like, "You just don't love me enough anymore." And do you see what we tend to do? We'd like to pick and choose. But you can't do that with God. And so God has revealed himself. And in the Bible, we have a record of God's revealing his character in his ways and his thoughts and his plans. And so the reality is, God is a relational God. God brings people to a relationship with him when they receive Jesus, and they start growing, and it's a lifelong viewing of God and getting to know him. So, I would say this, that someone said, and I've been quoting this guy ever since before I came here. He said it this way: if we do not care about truth enough to search for it, we will never find it. It's a principle as true about spiritual matters as it is about science. And so when Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Seek and you will find, ask and it will be given unto you, knock and the door will be open," it speaks of a persistence and wanting to know the God who is very interested in our lives. And so whenever we read the scripture, we are taking a long view. It's a long history. It's a long track record. We're looking at God. And it's necessary, if we're going to really talk to him, to take a look at him and to know him and to submit to him. So the point would be that God is very relational. He's righteous. He's holy. He's almighty, he is love, he is just, he is sovereign. He is in a relationship with those who submit to his word, and he invites us to be conversational with him. So I am saying that prayer emerges from taking a long view at God. And that's why the Bible and prayer go together. God speaks to me when I read the Bible. I speak to God through prayer. That's relationship. And that's not too complicated, is it? But I need to take a long view. It needs to be a lifelong pursuit of me looking at God so I know who I'm talking to. Very important. The second thing I would say is that prayer demands that we take the long view of God. God has a long view. He invites me to enter into it. And so when it says here in verse 10 of Matthew 6, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This involves the kingdom of God. And in an immediate sense, it's whenever a person submits themselves to Jesus and says, "You are my king, I will follow you." And so when we read his word and he says, "Hey, do this," or "Don't go there," we respond appropriately. He is our king. Your slightest wish is my command. And so when I look at God and I see, "Oh, he wouldn't like that," or, "Yeah, boy, this is good," I want to walk with him. And so I need to enter into the very mindset of God and understand his long view. But the reality is, I can live under his kingship now, but we are in a segment of time called not yet. It's like, "Your kingdom come sometime." And so while we wait for the kingdom to come, I can still submit to the king in my heart and life. And that means that I do enter into the long view of God. And it becomes very personal to me. I want to see as he sees. And I can only do that as I look at him. And I see the track record from Genesis to Revelation and see how he's, what kind of a God I am. And so I enter in until the day when he really comes to establish his kingdom. It's a waiting and a watching, and I walk by faith and I obey him because he's made many great promises to me in the scripture. And the Bible there is there to be a testimony that God is faithful. He has purposes, and he's made those known. And he wants me to have a purpose to enter into his purposes. And so that long view, it isn't just at him, but to take upon myself the long view of God, and I enter in and I say, "That's mine, and I want to walk with the king until his kingdom is established." That's me submitting to his ways. So God has so much to share with me in the integration of his word and his way in my life enables me to come to prayer much more in line with the intent of Jesus saying, "Thy kingdom come." And Jesus himself did submit to his heavenly Father while on earth. And we're to have that same attitude if we're going to walk with Jesus. I need to come along and see that it's his ways that I need to enter into. So he has a long plan, and he's made long prophecies, and he has a great purpose, and we need to adopt those into our own lives. And so as a parent, we mentioned those times that our kids just don't get it. And often what we mean is that they don't get our long view of our concern and our nurturing ability in their lives. And they're so caught up in the moment that they can't see it all. They just don't grasp it. They don't understand how much we love them. And so when we sang this morning that God makes all things beautiful in his time, That actually is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, and I read this when I was on vacation this time. And it says in chapter, that's Isaiah. Where am I? I'll get my other thing here. We'll find Ecclesiastes, and it's in chapter 3 and verse 11. He made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. And then in verse 14, I know that everything that God does will endure forever, and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. And so he's the type of God that wants us to understand that he has the ability, while we are often looking at the moment and struggling, and I can't understand, and why are you doing this, God? He has the ability to take that moment and over time make it very beautiful. But as the chorus says, he teaches us through those little moments, and he teaches us to trust him in the long run, in the long view. And so prayer isn't just it just doesn't demand us taking a long view at God. This is who I'm talking to. But it demands that we take the long view of God and we enter in with him. And so the big question becomes, do you trust me? You may not understand in your childlikeness in the moment what's going on, but do you trust me? Peace often does not come through understanding. Our 2-year-old that grew up in our homes didn't understand a lot of things. But every time we came alongside them and picked them up in their tears and sat them on our knee, we were saying to them, you may not understand right now what's happening or why I did this, but I want you to understand I love you and you need to trust me. Now, we didn't put it in words like that because they wouldn't get it even at 2 years of age. And it was much harder when they were 16. Okay? But isn't that how God thinks about us sometimes? And he says, you may not understand right now in your childishness or in your childlikeness why I have allowed this to come into your life and why you're going through this. You may not understand why I didn't just snap my fingers and pick you up and deliver you from this pain. You may not understand, but trust me. Submit to me. Know that in my time, I will make all things beautiful. And so, Lord, teach me every day as you're showing me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. What a tremendous little chorus. And so, seeing the long view of God and entering into that, God is a God of integrity. It's not so much why, but who is with me at this moment. So prayer demands that we take a long view at him. And it demands that we take the long view of God, that we enter into his mindset. But just finally, prayer demands that we take the long view with God. And the point would be that we are not alone on this journey. That God knows our needs. Physically, he knows our growth needs, our spiritual needs, and his desire is to help us, and we need to be open to his help. during the journey. Psalm 23, as we said, verse 4, yea, though I walk through. And we're all doing the walk through. And sometimes it's a walking through a valley where we feel very insecure and we're not sure what's going on. Just like many children don't know what's going on, even though their parents try to say, now, take the long view, okay? They're trying, aren't they? And so in our own lives, we need to understand we're not alone as we do this walkthrough. And the long through view of Scripture means that many of God's people did not understand at all in the moment why God didn't just snap his fingers and perform a miracle and deliver them from their enemies and make all things just perfect. And they're not alone, because we know this struggle. Considering that the children of Israel cried out in Egypt for 400 years that God would deliver them from that tyranny. And consider that in Hebrews 11, God did perform many miraculous things for his great people who trusted him. But there were other people who were martyred. And they were burned. They were sawed in two. They were put in prison. They died. But the reality is that God being sovereign, our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's submission. His will be done in his time, not in our time. And so taking the long view and doing it with him as we walk along, watching and waiting and praying, and knowing that as a loving Heavenly Father, sometimes he says, yes, I'll give that to you. Or he says, no, you can't have that right now. Not until you're older. Does that identify with some of you with your kids? You can't have it right now. Older. And so we said, wait. Why do I have to wait? Wait. And in many things, God says, wait. Trust me. It's coming. I promised you. I'm going to fulfill my kingdom. And you may even die on planet Earth before that happens. And that's what Hebrews said. These great people of faith, they died. But God had planned some great thing for them. And that's God's plan for every believer. Heaven. What a tremendous promise. The issue is, do we trust him? So the long view involves prayer's reward. And our reward sometimes will have to wait to heaven to get it. But we do affirm from Isaiah 55 that God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. But God is able to help us along. In Isaiah chapter 26, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. God says, do you trust me? Do you trust me as we go down through here, and that he will give us our daily bread? That he will keep us from being overcome by temptation that Satan or society or even our own selfishness will bring in and will step out of the will of God? Is God big enough to help us through those times? We need to know that God is absolutely sovereign, and he is righteously and he is wholly sovereign. He is a God that can be trusted. So when it comes to prayer, it is demanded of us that the long view involves looking at him. And some of us have been able to look at him for a long time, 30, 40, 50, 80 years of looking at Scripture. And when we say, our Father who art in heaven, we know who we're talking to. And it demands that we take a long view the long view of God, who sees the beginning to the end, and He's got it all figured out. He knows what's going to happen. And all along, He says, you've got to see this. Isn't every time we read our Bible, He's saying to us, you've got to see this. You've got to see it. Look back there. Look right here. Look up there. You've got to see it. The long view. Do you trust me? You see how they trusted me back there in the Old Testament? You see how I said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me so that where I am, there you can be too. You see how practical this becomes? And so today, prayer demands that I take the long view with God. As we walk together, we're going to reflect on all these great things that God is going to do. I was thinking of two or three old hymns. We're just going to conclude with this. I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand is one I call my Savior. That's what prayer is all about. Think of this, another verse in that same hymn. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Why? Because I've been looking a long time at God, and I have entered into His purposes, and we're walking together. I trust Him. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so God builds up our trust, and we're motivated to pray. And it's the long view. May God help us to enter into these things. Let's just take we're going to have our final hymn. There is a place of quiet rest. It's near to the heart of God. Let's stand to sing. We hope that you'll stay and have refreshments with us in the foyer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at one point, even Jesus' disciples who walked with Him day after day said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He gave them this Lord's Prayer as a pattern, as an example, as a beginning point in terms of knowing who they're talking to and wanting to enter into His purposes and then to walk along with Him. Help us, Lord. Teach us to pray. Teach us to be intentional and purposeful in this part of our lives, whether we are praying for our own commitment to You or praying that others will come to commitment to You, that Your purposes may be fulfilled. We thank You that ultimately we can say, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have this confidence. We trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.